Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast. Today, I welcome Di to the show, where we're going to be talking about confidence, grief, and many, many more things. A really important subject that I like talking about, and I'm glad I've got Di here to talk with me today. So just a quick introduction to Di, and then we will dive into our conversation. So Di is an NLP master practitioner, and she's been that since 2004. She then became a grief coach in 2017 after losing her husband. Di now helps people heal the pain of grief by understanding that it is an emotion, not a process, and something that we all do for every loss experience. She busts myths, old beliefs, and addresses guilt, and also helps people stop comparing that keeps them stuck. So welcome to the show today, Di. Glad to have you on today. No, you're very welcome. That's great. And so, yeah, just what I really wanted to ask you a little bit, like to start off with, is what I kind of just touched on and you kind of mentioned to me is the idea of grief being an emotion, you know, not necessarily a process. Yeah, just be really interesting to hear your kind of view on that.
Yeah, I mean, we're brought up to believe it's a process that you go through, but that implies that there's a start, middle, and an end. So when somebody is triggered by a memory further down the line, that can bring up an emotion that then they say to themselves, I should be over this by now, and have a little battle with themselves, whether they're trying to push it back down again, or what's wrong with me, because it was years ago and I should be in a different place. So it's not doing a number on yourself. It's a myth to think that time is a healer. It isn't. And we could talk more about that in a bit. But ultimately, we are taught how to gain things in life, but not what to do when we lose them. And the only experience that most people have is what they are taught by other people. Their parents, if they do talk to them, or from just observing what they do when they've had a grief of an bereavement of some kind. And I think the biggest impact too for me was understanding that grief is something that we do when we have any kind of loss. So it's not just about a bereavement. It can be about your health. It can be about your finances. It can be a divorce, relationships falling down, moving. As much as you might be quite happy to move to a new job, a new state, a new country, actually you're leaving friends and a network of support behind. And sometimes that doesn't hit somebody until they've actually left. You know, because we are a community person. Now, even in your office environment, most people have a good rapport with a lot of people that they work with. And then when they move, they're leaving that behind. So getting people to understand that, I think, is important, because most people just sort of shrug those feelings off and literally say to themselves, what's wrong with me? Well, there's nothing wrong with you. How attached you are to whatever loss it is, it will depend on how much you grieve. And this is where the comparing needs to be looked at. Because I can meet another widow and I can empathize with her, but I don't know how she feels about her loss, her relationship. Or somebody can look at you and think, well, she's all right. She's getting on with her life now. I'm still struggling. What's wrong with me? So we're all unique. We're all individuals. And we need to stop the comparing ourselves to other people. When literally across the board, not just about grief, but, you know, when you are wanting to improve your life, just do it to yourself. If you're running a race, then make sure that you, you know, if you want to do that sort of comparing, make sure that you beat your time next time. It doesn't matter. Somebody else can be fit as a flea and they're going faster than you. But that's what we do, isn't it? And then to start doing our number on ourselves, or what's wrong with me? I'm not good enough. So it's about having conversations to get people to understand that this grief is an emotion and it will come up. And when it comes up, you've got a choice. Do you deal with it? Do you acknowledge it? Do you have that little weep if you need to? Or just have that feeling of, oh, yeah, right, okay. If it's a person, I'm missing you. Or if it's an event that no longer happens in your life, it's gone. You know, it can be an end of a familiar pattern of behavior. Anything you do repeatedly and that stops, that's an end of a familiar pattern of behavior. And that's when we identify with loss.
I like what you said about the comparison in general as well, because I've certainly been caught in that, you know, in that pattern, like many times, like in grief as well. Like, and I also like what you said about grief, because this is how I always used to think: grief is like loss of someone as of a living person, but actually, it can be. I remember losing a job and the intensity. I'd never lost one before, and the intensity and the scarcity and the kind of feelings and the chemicals that are going in my body at that time was just like I was like on this brink of survival. It was just, you know, when actually, you know, I had support and resources, but it was just, I certainly experienced that as well. And it was like, oh, well, so-and-so, like, it wouldn't bother them. And it wasn't the right way to think about it. Now I look back and reflect on it.
Yeah, so you're instantly, you know, comparing yourself. Somebody that is made redundant might get a good payout and it's whoop-de-doo, I can now take that money and start the business I want to do. But sometimes, and, you know, I've had clients come to me because they were retiring. And that was a big impact from going from a very high up managerial place, you know, in a hospital to what he thought was going to be nothing. And understanding that he was grieving helped an awful lot.
Yeah, it's you can never tell, I find as well, from an individual and that on the outside either. Like how much it's impacted them. And again, that's also not just with grief, but with confidence or how someone's feeling inside about themselves. It's like, oh, they're fine. And not necessarily, it's like you said earlier, it's like, oh, that person who's getting on with it might actually be really struggling. You never know, really, do you?
When I first lost my husband, I had an awful lot of people inviting me out, you know? And I felt like I couldn't say no to them because I thought if I said no once, that would mean that they wouldn't ask me again. So I actually kind of wore myself out, to keep saying yes to these things until eventually I got sense and sort of said, no, I didn't want to do that. But it's even though I'm a very outgoing, confident person and I've kind of got back to where I was now, at that time, you know, for 32 years, I was part of somebody. I wasn't on my own. I went from living at home with the folks to being married. And then I found myself in this space because my boys had left home just recent a few years before that. And all of a sudden, it's like, shit, I'm on my own here. And then having those feelings coming up of worrying about going out on my own. I know probably it's, you know, if you're in a city, I know you've shared that before we started, but I'm on a little tiny island and it's a little tiny community. So it's a bit silly for me to think that it would be difficult to go out, but that's what I was going through and trying to make me do things so that I could stop isolating myself. Because an awful lot of people are taught to grieve alone. And when they do that, then they stay at home and then it can build and build and build. And then you've got a totally different problem altogether where you've got to try and coax them out of a house or something. So I forced myself to go out and to engage with people. And eventually it got easier, just like everything else, when we push those limiting beliefs that we started to build up inside, and we can get ourselves out into community. But yes, I can definitely relate to people in that space. That loneliness that kicks in is horrendous. I'd never been lonely. Fortunately, I had my dog Ruby, but apart from that, the loneliness, I thought, oh, I don't like this one bit. And that's what helped me say, right, okay, I've got to do something about this. So I went out and started to learn how to do swing dancing. So I built up a community about that. And then I thought, do you know something? I can't be the only one on the island like this that feels like this. So then I decided to create a Facebook group for people on the Isle of Man who wanted to actually meet up just to build up. Do you know, I've got nearly 900 people in that group now. And just started from me having this idea that I cannot be the only person here that feels this way. And so when people are in that place of fear, it's one of the joys I have to say, well, do you know, I can relate. Again, I don't know how you feel. That nobody knows how you feel, only you do. Never say that to anybody, especially if they're grieving. It can actually anger people because you're unique, as I've said. So how you feel is down to you and the way you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's lovely to help coach people through that. And generally what it is the feelings of guilt. You know, if they've lost somebody that they've loved, I'm still here and they've gone, and what right have I to still be here? Those feelings can come up and all rest.
Well, thank you for being honest, yeah.
But then I say to them, right, okay, the true meaning of guilt is an emotion you should feel if you have murdered somebody. You haven't, you know, but we use it in our society all over the place. You know, you could be guilted in the fact that you haven't been to see your gran, or, you know, you haven't finished your meal and there's children that need that food and you should, you know, and this is the way our lives are. So once they understand that, I'll say to them, okay, now you know the true meaning of guilt and how that should be. What's the true feeling underneath? And two things generally pop up, which is sadness or fear. Yeah. So both of those things have brought them down a level so that people can actually then deal with those emotions. There's something else that they can think about. And then that can ease off the feeling stuck, and they can actually feel like they can do something about those things. And I can certainly, relate to the fear aspect, because I felt fearful of life without him in it. Because him and my boys had been my world, and that was it. Yeah. Everything, even doing what I'm doing now, is all because of the people that I've had in my life. And then all of a sudden, they're not there. So there's a fear of, well, what do I do now?
The underlying fear. Yeah.
So that's what that all came to a head when I did the grief training, because my husband died in 2016. And then 3 months after he died, my little sister got diagnosed with cancer and she died the following year. So I did this training in between those two significant losses, which was great because it helped me with the pain of my loss, to heal the pain. But also to put me in the right place to talk to my niece and my nephew about what was happening to their mum, to make sure that they were supported in the right way. Because an awful lot of people avoid having the conversations with children, perhaps even not let them go to the funeral, because they don't want, you know, they're bad enough to go to when you're older, you know, so they might, like I was actually not allowed to go to my grandfather's funeral for that very reason. And it stops you having that ability to say goodbye to the person that you've loved. So I'm kind of on a mission now, taking everything that I've been doing since 2017. And as I've mentioned to you, before we came on that I've got a partner in my life now, and he brought two kids with him. So I've asked them to help me create a book, which we've done, to help children understand grief. But I've got an adult's book that helps them start the conversations off with the children so that they can work with them together. So it's a two-pronged approach, really. The adult gets some extra little tips and how to start the conversations, and the children work through it. And it was marvelous because he came full of anger because there was a divorce there, and he had no words for the feelings that were coming up. And so those sort of things, you could see him deflate, and the pressure that he'd been holding himself with just dissipated as we were going through it. And she was very insecure because she thought if dad got somebody, that would mean that she wouldn't see her dad. And it took me great joy to say to her, thank goodness you've shared this. Thank you. Thank you. I'm with your dad because I know he would leave me before he would ever leave you. And that was important to me as a mum, you know. And since then, it's helped her stop feeling that insecurity, even though she's a teenager. So we've got teenage things to deal with then. But ultimately, they've got the tools. They know how to have conversations now with people. We've gone through myths and beliefs, and I've introduced triggers and some NLP modules in it so that they can understand how they take the information in and process it. So that's very important to me, that we start having these conversations with children. And in fact, generally everybody, because you'd be surprised how many adults don't realise that when they've had a loss that they're grieving.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
They just think it's a death thing.
Yeah, yeah, I used to think that, and then really opened my eye, you know. I'm really fascinated to learn a lot about grief, and most of us are kind of just, you know, just like responding and reacting to, you know, the best way we know how and things that are coming up. And the fact that you're out there, you know, trying to educate both the adults and the children is an amazing thing, because, yeah, otherwise, you know, there's no blame attached or anyone. It's just what we're taught, right? But it's,
yeah,
it's just we're only going to respond from how we know. So love what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's not about having a go at parents or at all.
No, absolutely not.
It's just about exploring it in a way that, you know, giving them the information. The first part of everything that I do is about the educational side of things. So we look at things called, we call STERBs, short-term energy relieving behaviors. Those are the things that we do to comfort ourselves when we are experiencing a loss.
Any kind of loss, right? Yeah. Again,
any kind
just
of
coming
loss.
Back to that, yeah.
Absolutely any kind of loss. So it might be that, you know, somebody might have a particular food or go for the cake or have a glass of wine, you know, or as it was in my case, I used to have a glass at the weekend and that was about it. But when Andrew died, I was having a glass every night. In fact, one or two glasses. And this continued for a little while. And then so I came to realize that that was what I was doing. I was actually drinking it thinking this used to make me feel better, and it wasn't, but I was still giving it a go. And then there was just one night I realized that I was just about to start my second bottle of wine, and I went, hang on a minute, something just clicked back in the cupboard. I'm not touching it again unless my friends are with me. So I broke it, but then I learned later on that that was a STERB. So that can be from when you're a child and a child breaks a toy. Now, if you leave a child alone, the child will just process that toy and move on to the next. But what happens is a well-meaning parent will come in, or guardian, with a biscuit and say, here, this will make you feel better. So that process has been interrupted. This higher authority has told me that this is going to make me feel better. It makes me feel different, but not better. And so we carry that through life, looking for that thing that is going to make us feel better.
That quick fix.
That quick fix. Instead of allowing ourselves that space to say, okay, actually, I'm hurting here. I need to work on this. And so those sort of things can be into our relationships. I mean, you know, if you perhaps know people that have divorced and then soon enough they're with somebody else and getting married again, or some people will actually look for somebody before they've left the relationship they're in. So it can be all the way through from childhood, from something like that biscuit.
I know, we're
looking to replace that loss so we don't feel good. The trouble is, you know, we're just pushing all of this down inside of our bodies and holding on to it and stressing our system out. And an awful lot of anxiety, depression, and stress can all come from unresolved grief. As one day that lid's just going to come off the box that it's all been pushed into.
Certainly relate. Yeah, I can certainly relate. I remember I was saying only recently in the last years I've been able to process the loss of my grandma when I was like 7 years old, because I just didn't know how. And then fight for lots of relatives from when I was young. And it was, when I just like had that release from a kind of a deep spiritual retreat I was on at the time, it was like for my whole body. And I'd done various things to kind of release, but for many years my kind of coping thing was just going out with the guys every weekend through my 20s, you know, just that kind of like partying, whether it didn't work out with the, you know, a girl I was dating or whatever, it'd just be like back to the partying, back to the football, back to the, you know, and it, you know, you had good laugh and stuff, but it was just kind of, I realized that was the coping mechanism, and it was kind of quite a normal looking thing for, you know, a guy in his 20s. But yeah, I realize it's actually a mechanism, so I can certainly relate.
Yeah.
To example.
Did you know that, I mean, like the pain that somebody feels when they've lost somebody that they love so much, for me, it felt like there was a knife sticking in my heart and I couldn't shift it. None of my NLP schools was shifting it at all. And it wasn't until I did this course and finished the program that I felt this energy coming up through my body and it dissipated, because it was horrible. I felt like Andrew was stuck on the other side of it. And that, as that came up and moved, it felt like he moved around this side. Because we had one of those relationships where we could communicate, and sometimes did we have this conversation out loud type of thing. And that felt worse to me, this pain in my heart. What I would like to share is, did you know that that could be picked up on an ECG machine?
Oh, wow.
So it's a real thing. So when people say they're in pain, that they've you know, literally it's in their heart, sometimes they might think they're going to have a heart attack, but it will. That's what it is. That pain is real and it can be picked up on an ECG machine.
Wow. I did not realize that.
It's a real broke, you know, so it's not something that's in somebody's head. It's a real thing.
So Di, like, there's so much more we could dive into today, and it's such an important subject. And I know you've got a lot of resources available, and you're doing a lot of work. So, yeah, just before we sort of wrap up today, would be great if you could share where the listener could maybe find you, find some of these resources that you do to support people with grief. That'd be awesome.
Right, so my website's www.lifeafterlossiom.com. And on there you'll find the list of programs that I do, and you'll be able to book a call with me if you wish to. Yeah. All my calls that I take are complimentary for the first session that we have together. So even if it's just that you need a powerful call to help you, you know, just cope with whatever it is you're going through right now, I'm happy to jump on and have that with you.
Yeah.
So there's a few little booklets going up there soon. I'm working with one of your previous guests, Rada, to put a few more on. Yeah. We're doing grief and how it affects the gut. We've done one of those because it was one of the things I didn't want to eat when I lost Andrew. I just didn't want to eat. I went completely off food. But I knew enough that I needed to look after myself. So we've kind of come together to explain what's happening in the body when
Ooh,
people are
great.
struggling.
Love that. Amazing. Yeah, be sure to link all that up. I'm glad you're working with Rada on that. Brilliant. So yeah, Di, a massive thank you for coming on today. Really appreciate all your openness, all your shares and all your golden nuggets you've shared today.
Thank you very much for having me, Johnny.
Very welcome. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.